people I formed for myself so that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say together, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. You can find a seat as we pray this morning. Dear Father, Lord, you are the great and good God, the provider of streams in the wasteland and the wilderness, Father. God, we know that you are constantly doing a new thing, that you are springing up. Do we not perceive it? And Lord, we want to perceive it. We don't want to miss it. And so, God, we ask right now that you would just begin to open our hearts to whatever you have for us today. You would help us to hear from your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. So a couple of months ago when I found out that I was going to get to preach on Covenant Sunday, I actually got super excited. I got super excited. I know that this is an incredibly important principles for our lives as believers, and I could not wait to preach today, but something interesting began to happen. As I talked to people, as family found out, and friends and church staff or whoever found out that I was preaching on Covenant Sunday, I noticed an interesting thing would happen, and the conversation would go something like this: oh, I saw your preaching on Covenant Sunday, so how are you feeling about that? And it was like, for whatever reason, there was this really negative connotation surrounding Covenant Sunday. And up front, let me just say it, I get it. I get it. I have friends who don't believe in God, who would never step foot into a church because they believe that the church just wants their money. I have friends who believe that churches shouldn't get the tax credits that they do because they're simply businesses, and I get it. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, shoot, today is Covenant Sunday? I knew I should have skipped church today. I knew I should have skipped church. I understand the frustrations around the teaching of biblical stewardship. I really do. I think the big church as a whole, I think we've done such a bad job of teaching biblical stewardship. And I can see how so many of us think that the church just wants my money. And so I want to tell you up front that you do not have to give a dime to this church, and we will still love you, we will still support you, we will still pray for you, we will still include you the same exact way as if you gave all of your money, because that's what we believe the Bible teaches us. And second, I want you to know that if you're not a Christian today, then this standard doesn't apply to you. If you're not a Christian today, if you came with a family member and you're still not sure about the whole Christian life, I'm so glad that you're here, because you get a glimpse of the standard that God has called Christians to and the heart behind that, but it doesn't apply to you at this moment in your life. And so now that you know all those things, now that I've gotten those things out of the way, I also want you all to know that I'm still going to preach and teach what I believe to be biblical principles about generosity. And my hope is that you will begin to see God's heart in this, and my hope is that we'll begin to see how important this is to our spiritual lives here on earth as Christians. And so the overarching theme for today is that godly giving is less about our haves and more about our hearts. Godly giving is less about our haves and more about our hearts. You see, somewhere, somehow, when we've started teaching about biblical stewardship, when we talk about giving, it has been flipped on its head, and it's been made all about how much we have, about how much money we have, and how we need to give those resources to the church. It's been taught as some kind of obligation that we have to do. And I think when we teach about God's stewardship from this perspective, what happens is our hearts become hardened to the blessing that God has filled us with and the blessing that God calls us to be and live in. But I think when we realize that giving is not about our haves, it's all about our hearts, giving becomes much easier. It shifts our perspective entirely. And I think we can see this in our world because you know that it doesn't matter how many financial resources we have if our hearts are sick. That's why we see so many wealthy people in our world living miserable lives, not because they don't have stuff, not because they don't have plenty of resources, but because their hearts are sick. And so if you get nothing else from today, if you don't receive anything else from the Lord, understand this, that godly generosity, it's not about money. It's not all about money. It's never been all about money. It's all about our hearts. It's all about our hearts. And so as we continue to walk through this today, be cognizant of that truth. It's all about my heart. And so the first thing today is that giving isn't all about money. Giving isn't all about money. If you brought your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 7. We're going to be in Matthew 7, 1, and we're going to jump all over the place today. Scripture talks about this so stinking much, and it was really difficult to craft this message because Scripture talks about it so much. And so we're going to jump all over the place. And so just do your best to try and keep up with me. But I want to start in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And I want to show you something that I honestly have never really noticed. And I think it may surprise some of us today. Matthew 7, 1. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there. If you brought a smartphone, you can also open up your smartphone. But Matthew 1, this is Jesus teaching, and he says this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, I know what you're thinking. Why in the world are we reading a passage on judgment? Well, I want you to pay attention to that last phrase that Jesus uses. He says, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, Jesus is teaching that the measure of judgment we use on others will then also be given back to us. And so I want us to go to the parallel passage of this in Luke, which is in Luke chapter 6, 37. And so, as we do that, though, I want you to keep those words in mind. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In fact, let's just say this together. Repeat after me. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All right, let's say it again like we're the 10:45 service and we've been up for a little while. I've been preaching once a month now for a couple of months, and you should know one thing about me. I have way too much energy. And so I need y'all to kind of clap back at me. And so let's say this again. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All right, now we're awake. Luke 6, 37, it says this. And again, this is Jesus teaching. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And then here we have it for 38. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap." And then here's our phrase: "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, here's what I want us to understand and try to see today. Was money mentioned in any of those passages? No. It's not a trick question. Money was not mentioned anywhere in those passages, yet if you grew up in a church like I did, you would know that Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38, the only time we talk about this passage is during the offering time, right? Like, I don't know if any of you grew up in a church like I did, but I can recall countless times that it was like, "Hey, if you give, it will be pressed down, shaken together, running over and given back to you, poured into your lap." I remember being a kid asking my mom, "But okay, Mom, why do we give?" And her quoting this verse. Well, honey, if you give, it'll be pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured back into your lap. And I've heard so many pastors do the same. I've heard so many people teach on the same thing. So much so that I was surprised when I was preparing for this message to turn to that passage of Scripture and notice that money is not mentioned. Not mentioned at all. But money isn't mentioned in this passage because I think Jesus is trying to show his followers a much greater principle. It's this idea that giving extends far beyond money. That giving is actually the cornerstone of true Christian living. And he's teaching this principle through all these other aspects. He says, hey, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Whatever you give, it will be given to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Giving is the cornerstone of true Christian living. And I think what happens in our lives is we boil this down to simply our finances. I mean, think about it. It's Covenant Sunday. And the first thing you thought when I said it was Covenant Sunday, I can almost guarantee was money, right? I mean, if we're just being honest, when I said giving, I know some of you in this room thought, oh, Lord, here we go again. We're talking about money. And I think the enemy has distorted our view of giving. He's completely corrupted this word to carry with it so many negative feelings that whenever we talk about it, we just want to check out. We want to distance ourselves from the blessing that God constantly calls us to live out. We avoid the very purpose that God has us in this world for because we think it's all about money. But it's not all about money. The Christian life is all about giving, but giving is not all about money. You see, we cannot talk about grace without talking about giving. Why? Because for God so loved the world, what? That he gave. We cannot talk about a healthy marriage without talking about giving because we need to understand that a healthy marriage is all about two people who freely are giving to one another constantly and consistently. We can't talk about healthy relationships without understanding that a godly friendship is built on a relationship of giving. And you see, when we boil it down to money, I think two things happen within our hearts. If you're low in the financial department of your life, you think, oh, giving? Well, he surely can't be talking about me, right? I don't have any more to give. College kids, you're living on ramen noodles right now. I have been there. I was just telling someone a story a couple weeks ago about how I didn't like peanut butter until I went to college because I literally was so broke in college at one point, I was living off of a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter because that's all that I had. I remember like going into my car and like scrounging up the change, right, to go to the late night Taco Bell and grab a taco or two to make it through finals. I've been there, right? Families with multiple kids and sports, and you've got all these things going on. I saw my my Instagram feed blowing up with all these kids at Cotillion and sports and all of these extracurricular activities. You've got a mortgage and bills to pay, I can't say that I've been there. We don't have children yet, and I don't fully understand, and I really don't envy you, but I can understand a little bit, right? Like, giving, well, he surely can't be talking about me. I don't have any more to give. But I think there's also another thing that happens that I don't want us to miss. In other seasons of our lives, when maybe our finances are doing really well, we can be tempted to say, well, it doesn't matter where else I give in my life because I wrote that check the other day. Right? Are people still using checkbooks? I don't, but I know that a lot of you probably do. But I digress. But Jesus is teaching us that giving is so much more than money. He's saying, hey, I want to open your heart again. I want you to see that giving is what you've been placed on this earth for. And so turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 with me. We're going to kind of jump through this passage of scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I don't want us to miss this. I urge you, brothers, what? In view of God's mercy in which he freely gave to us. So because of God's mercy, now offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then skip to verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to each and every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And so Paul is talking, he's teaching these Christians, hey, okay, God's given us grace. He's also given us these gifts. He's got that with the, or he's given us faith that God has distributed to each and every one of us. So God has given us grace. He's given us faith. And then skip to verse 5. So that we in Christ, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. So another form of giving, that each of us are to give to all of us because we all belong to each other. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he starts to list all of these things. If your gift is prophesying, then you prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then you serve. If it is teaching, then you teach. If it is to encourage, then you give encouragement. If it is giving, then you give generously. If it is to lead, then you do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then you do it cheerfully. You see, Paul is teaching these new followers of Jesus what a practical life with Christ's teaching truly looks like. And giving is woven throughout the entire passage. God is teaching us that he has already given to us. And so out of a response to that, that he freely gave of his grace, he freely gave of his gifts in our lives so that we can give back to others, so that we can give back to God. Why? Because this is the process in which God transforms our hearts. It's the process in which he transforms our hearts by the giving of our time and our resources, our gifts and our talents, by the giving of our finances. It puts God's heart inside of us. A God who freely gave, it puts his heart inside of ours so that we become like him, so that we freely give. You see, giving isn't all about money. Giving isn't all about money. But it does start with money. I think it does start with money. I can feel the tension in the room right now. I know this is so uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, the Bible teaches these things. Let's look at Matthew 6, 21 together. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think so often we say this passage in passing to each other, but we never really take the time to break it down. We never really take the time to look at its true meaning. And I think there's so much power in teaching in this little verse. Notice Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, our hearts, they follow our treasure. And I think we operate on a principle that's pretty close to this, but not quite fully there, right? Like, I hear people say things all the time like, oh, well, if I'm passionate about it, then I'll give to it. Or if I love it, then I'll give towards it. But you see, this isn't how it works. That is a lie. It doesn't say where our treasure is going to be, then our hearts follow. No, it doesn't work that way. Jesus is teaching his followers that it's where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. I like to shop online, as most people do. Amazon is incredible because I can go online, order something, and then in a few days, it's at my door. But as I was preparing for this, I noticed an interesting principle in my life that I wasn't aware of before this. When I buy something online, there's this thing called shipping, right? And so I don't know when it's going to show up at my door, but you better believe I'm checking every single day. When I buy something online and I get that ship, oh, it's going to be shipped to you on Thursday. Well, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, I'm still saying, hey, did that package come today? Oh, man, nothing. Tuesday, oh, hey, did that package come today? Oh, man, nothing. Because, see, I've placed some treasure there, so now my heart is there also. I think some of us can relate to that with the stock market, maybe. I don't know anything about stocks, so don't listen to a word I say about that. But I can imagine that after you put some treasure in some stocks, I bet you check that stock a whole lot more often. than you did beforehand, right? Because our treasure, wherever our treasure is, there our hearts lie also. And I think some of us might be in a place where we have shut our hearts off to God. We have completely shut our hearts down to what God wants to do in our lives. And Jesus is teaching this principle that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. And so if we want to open our hearts back up to God in certain areas of our lives, then a really practical way to do that is to put some treasure there. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a second, Devin, I thought you said this wasn't all about money. I could see some of you squirming in your chairs. You're getting uncomfortable. You're mad at me. I could just feel it. But it's not all about money. But I believe that the Bible clearly shows us that it starts there. And here's where we mess up. We mess up thinking that, oh, well, the church just wants my money. But guess what? Central does not want your money. The church doesn't want your money. God does. God does. He wants our money because he knows that our hearts and our treasures, they are connected. They are connected, and if he can get our money, then he can get our hearts. And again, this is all about our heart. God wants our heart. And giving is the mode in which God uses to test our hearts. I had a mentor of mine many years ago tell me something. Hey, Devin, you want to check where your heart truly lies? Just begin to look at your finances. Just begin to look at your credit card statements. Look at your banking accounts and begin to see. And it is so revealing when you look at your finances with that perspective. Like, God, where is my heart? Okay, let me check. Is my heart wrapped up in consumerism? Or is my heart wrapped up in godliness? Is my heart wrapped up in selfishness? Or is my heart wrapped up in selflessness? And you can begin to see very practically where your heart is, how your heart is doing. And God just wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. And we mess everything up because we try to be our own providers, right? We try to control our own lives. I've earned this. I worked hard for that. I've done this. I made a lot of things happen for myself. To use the words of John Mayer, if you listen to John Mayer, I made a lot of things happen for myself. That's not a biblical view of our resources and our purpose on earth as Christians. The whole point of this is our hearts so that we can be a blessing. You see, we are blessed to be a blessing. I don't know if I have any Friends, the old TV show from like the 2000 fans, but as I wrote this, I couldn't help but think of Chandler. We are blessed to be a blessing. Could we be any more blessed? Just the way my brain works. Jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with me. Jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Another way of saying, hey, I want to test your hearts. By comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, you through his poverty might become rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And you see, this is what it all comes back to. This is what it all comes back to. Christians, we have been so blessed by Jesus. At the beginning of this at the beginning of this message, I read something from Isaiah. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls. Because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, I give drink to my people so that they may proclaim my praise. You see, we are blessed through Jesus Christ. That passage that Isaiah, the prophecy that Isaiah was speaking towards was Jesus. That he left his heavenly realm. He gave up his riches so that we might become rich. And this is a incredibly interesting passage of scripture because Paul is teaching on our spiritual richness, right? He's saying, hey, remember where you came from, that you were dead to your transgressions in sin. But Jesus Christ came and redeemed you from all of those things. He redeemed you from the pit. But then he shifts and moves from this idea of a spiritual blessing through Jesus Christ to then our physical blessing through Jesus Christ. In verse 10, and here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so, meaning your hearts were in the right place. Now finish the work so that your eagerness, or so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness, again, the heart, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Again, it's not about our haves, it's about our hearts. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. For as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. You see, I believe that God wants to spring up inside of us a well of his blessing so that we can pour out our blessing to others because God so freely gave to us. God so freely gave his mercy and his grace in our lives. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, knowing that we would never be able to repay that gift, so that we could be a blessing to others. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 9:10 as well. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? In thanksgiving to God. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's covenant Sunday, and in just a little bit, we're going to look at these cards. And I want you to notice a couple things that through all of these things, only a few of them have to do with your actual finances. There's prayer and worship and service, but here's the thing. All of this is about being a river. I want to be a river. God says, see, I'm doing a new thing in you. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? And you see, if you, I don't know if you caught it, but in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he who supplies seed to the sower will also supply and increase your store of seed. And as I was reading through this, as I was studying through all of these passages of scripture, there's a principle that applies that it doesn't make sense in my brain. It doesn't make sense. There's a lot of logic that we look into it, and well, that doesn't make sense, that the more I give, the more I also receive from the Lord. But I think it's because generosity, being a Christian, is all about living our lives with open hands. If you look up the definition of generosity, it's fascinating because it actually refers to it as an open-handedness, living your life with an open-handedness. And y'all, I don't know about you, but I want to be marked by generosity. I want to be marked by living with an open-handedness where I say, God, everything that I've been given has come from you. It's all come from you. You flooded me with blessing so that I can live with my hands open loosely and pour out to those around me. Why? So that me and the others around me can give you praise. But I confess to you all, so often in my life, I become a dam. I become a dam. God says, I want to spring something up with you. I want to make you a river of my blessing to the nations. But so often, I've become a dam. I worked hard for that, Lord. I did so much. I put in so much time and effort and energy for those things. And I close my hands around the gifts that God has given me, and I become a dam. And God says, no, I want to flow through you. Devin, I want you to live your life with open hands. See, this isn't about money. Giving is not about money. It's all about living in an example of God's generosity, being that example on this earth. And so as we move to a time of our covenant cards, I just want us, the band's going to come back up. Band, if you could come back up and lead us in a song. The song's called Build My Life. You see, this isn't about money. It's a heart check. And I'm so, why I was so excited to preach on this topic today is because it's all about the heart. I'm so thankful that year in and year out, I can come to this church and I can say, okay, God, where's my heart at? Where's my heart at? How has my heart reflected your generosity this year? And I can look at it and say, okay, I gave of my time, Lord. I gave of my energy. I gave of my resources. I gave of my gifts. I gave of my talents. I gave of my finances. But then there's also a time for me to say, okay, God, how am I living with closed hands? How am I living in a way where I've closed my heart off to your blessing in my life and the true purpose of my living to bless others? You see, if you caught that in that passage, it's all about equality, that when tragedy strikes our lives, when our finances are low, the Christian body lifts us up, that we give of our resources to one another so that we can support in times of plenty and in times of hardship, that in each and every season of our lives that we would have plenty because we know that God has given it to us all anyway. He's given it to us all. And I know I'm only 29 years old and I've got so much more to learn. But I tell you guys, I've seen this principle in my life. I've grown up with it. I did not come from much. You don't know that about me. But I can remember times when I was poor, when my family was poor, and my mom was still faithful to her tithes and groceries would just show up on our doorstep. And I don't know how it works. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense, but I know that God wants to well up within us a spring of his blessing so that we can bless those around us. And it's not about money. It's not about what we have. It's all about our hearts. And so in this moment, as you commit to God, the beautiful thing about this is we don't even look at them, right? You put them in the chest. It's between you and God. We mail them back to you. This isn't about the church wanting your money. It's about God wanting your heart. He says, I just want your heart. I want to flow through you so that you live a life that has open hands. So I don't know where your heart is today. I don't know. But I know I want to live with open hands. I want to live in a way that says, God, you've given me everything. I have so much. But I just pour that back to you? Would I pour that back to the church? Would I pour that back to those around me? Because God's created us for that purpose, to be his blessing here on this earth. Would you pray with me God, we just surrender to you this morning. It's so hard to talk about our finances, God, because we so often, we just want control. And God, we're so worried about the things of this world. We're so worried about the clothes that we're going to wear. We're so worried about the food that we're going to eat. We're so worried about the places that we're going to live. We're so worried about how to provide for our families. But God, you are our sustainer. You are our provider, and you teach us all throughout your scripture that do not worry about those things, for do not the birds have clothes? Do not the grass have clothes? And aren't we more valuable? God, that's what you teach us. So Lord, forgive us of the times that we just want control, that we close our fists around what you've given us and we keep it to ourselves. God, will your Holy Spirit open us up? Will you open our hands so that we can be a blessing to this world? God, I envision a day, God, where world hunger is taken care of by the church. God's people, where the poor and oppressed come running to your truth, because we're so marked by generosity. So God, as we move into this time of a covenant with you, would you search our hearts, oh Lord? Point out the ways and the areas of our lives. We need more of you, because that's what it's all about. It's all about being more like you, for you gave so freely to us without any promise of return, and yet you continually, day after day after day, pour out your mercy and your grace and your love upon us. We're so thankful for that. In your name we pray, and everybody said amen, amen. So as we move to this time, we're going to sing a song, and whenever you feel ready, the altar is going to be open. I'm going to join my wife, and we're going to pray over what we feel God is doing, because I believe in this so much. I hope you know that. I believe in this so much. Pastor Jan this morning at 9:30 talked about the vision, her vision for this church, and I just want you to know, I can't speak highly enough of her. God is doing a new thing in her life, and she's leading this church into a new place that I'm so excited to be a part of. It's all about God's presence. That's all we want. As a staff, that's what we want. We want God's presence to go before us, to go behind us, to go with us. So we're going to sing a song together whenever you're ready. Put this in your envelope, and we'll place them all in our Joash chest. And just a reminder to you, this is just a covenant between you and the Lord. So let's stand together. Whenever you're ready, you can come forward and place your card in the chest.
Worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every praise we could ever praise. We live for you. Oh, Jesus. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. If we live for you, you're holy. Beside you, open up my eyes here.
Sure.
lift up these covenants to you. God, we are so thankful for the covenant that you first gave us. So Lord, may these represent living a life of open-handedness, God. Would you give us the faith? Would you give us the strength? Would you give us the trust, Lord, to release control? And as we just sang, that we would build our lives on your foundation and your foundation alone. Be quick to point out the times in our lives when we try to hoard things to ourselves, when we try to control things ourselves. May you be quick to point those things out. May we test our hearts. May you test our hearts over and over and over again this next coming year. May you remind us that you've freely given.